Hello and welcome. And we're here at Holistic Investments, and I'm your host, Konstantin Kogan. And I'm excited to have here our guest today, is co-founder and COO of The Sendbox. Sendbox, for someone who still doesn't know what it is, it's a decentralized gaming virtual world. And so we met with Sebastian, like, you know, for many times, specifically in our investment dinner in New York, and many times at conferences. And Sebastian Berger is a renowned expert in this field, and he's also president of the Blockchain Game Alliance, advocating for NFTs in blockchain and games. We're actually members, so yeah, excited to mention that. So again, Sebastian, like, you know, before I give you the floor to tell you the audience about your background, I just need to throw, as usual, a legal disclaimer that this content is for informational purposes only. You should not construe any such information or any other material as legal, tax, investment, financial, or any other advice. We have times with regulators, they check everything right now, so we have to be careful on this side. But without further ado, Sebastian, really excited to have you here. Please tell us a little bit more about how did you get into this crypto frenzy, and how did you ended up, co-founding Sendbox?
Absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here today with you, Konstantin. Hi, everyone. You know what? As an entrepreneur and a person with an engineering background, I co-founded three companies, always in new technology, over the past 15 years with my business partner, Arturo Madrid. And each one of those companies was always focused into how to make new technologies accessible and useful to everyone. The first startup was into peer-to-peer. The second was with online media, photo, video, music, in the cloud, content streaming and sharing with friends, with one of the first Web2. My third startup was the first mobile gaming company where free-to-play and user-generated content. And the Sendbox franchise was born about 10 years ago, originally as a mobile game, with this idea to turn any player into a creator. It evolved over time as it grew with success, etc. And as we kept looking always into this space of technology, being curious, testing things, around 2017, we got interested into blockchain by itself, how it works, what is a protocol. So by then was Bitcoin. But rapidly, we were seeing like more on the dApps and services. We found the first blockchain game, CryptoKitties, back then. And again, curious by nature, we tested the product benchmark. Like, okay, I've been 10 years in gaming. There is a blockchain game. What does change, etc. And we saw an interesting thing out of CryptoKitties, which was absolutely not the game by itself, but something, a very simple idea that players were buying those virtual cats, not from the developer himself, but from other players, and not in the game itself, but on the marketplace outside of the game. And that was really new. We've never had that in video game, like where it's always those walled garden economy, closed environment, you can only buy in the game, cannot change or exchange or sell content. And that came at the point where we actually were struggling with Sendbox in a way, like very successful on metrics and content creation, but also frustrated that our creator, we couldn't retain them over a long time, and we had no way to give a revenue for the content they brought in the game, the values they created. And then suddenly came that moment, like, what if we combine that capacity with the NFTs, the digital asset that can be sold on marketplaces, and allow anyone to become a creator of them, combining user-generated content and NFTs, and launch a new version of Sendbox, which make the best use of that possibility, providing like a virtual world, a 3D virtual world, a game maker to use your avatar, to use your digital asset, to be able to create them freely, to exchange them freely, etc. And that's really how, starting the end of 2017, and mostly we begin developing Sendbox again, and I've dived into blockchain gaming and NFTs, and we've been a pioneer since then.
Yeah, that's the rest is history, as they say, right? So there are a lot of controversies which is happening right now. You know, we're recording this in July 2022, and technically we can call it a bear market, right? Not the greatest time for a lot of people who bought NFTs, let's say, you know, the previous cycle in 2021. So there are a lot of challenges in the secondary market, right? So I want to address this question on more of a that concerns the practicality of what's happening right now. And what do you as a person who is like very close to the one of the biggest communities, right? And of you know, you did tremendous land sales, you partner with big names, you know, like Snoop Dogg, you know, like Deadmau5, like Adidas, major brands in the world. So what do you think is gonna happen in the nearest future? And what do you think we as an industry, specifically for our NFT component, we need to do to increase the numbers of secondary market?
I think it's a very good question to ask ourselves, or more specifically, most of the developers of application and game to ask themselves is like, how, like to create a good economy, like you need to create basically also a good product that will drive that economy behind. Like there's no magic, like the token itself is only a means to an end, and an end is like to power an economy, a player-owned economy for a game. So that game needs to also still, by all means, just like a product or a startup, meets the definition of like what will make it a successful product, a successful startup. So having good KPI of retention, of a conversion rate for your user acquisition, and be able to bring people on, make them engage, interact, and keep interacting for the product itself, and not just for the financial gains that the product can drive. Because at the very end of the day, people come for the fun, stay for the gains. Don't people that just comes from the gain, not sure they will stay in the product. They would find the next product and the next product and the next product. So I think in a sense that's a little bit also what people have tend to forget, like adding this decentralized economy and the player, the digital asset, the NFTs on top of a product doesn't replace the fundamental of being an entrepreneur that build great products and services that are useful and adopted massively by people. And also the timeline needs to be realistic. Like you don't launch a good product in a matter of 1 month or 3 months. Like at the perspective, still just a year is so short in the life of a product development. Most of the most mature product today, they are what, in their 10, 15 years, 20 years. And still, unless you're this unicorn that has found and identified a major problem you're solving and you can scale with an insane K factor for the right reason, it's going to be hard to just skip that part of like natural growth, natural adaptation of your product, iterating, and just building the whole thing. So I think it's also a good time for refocus right now to build, prioritize, like create a great, put all your energy, find the good talent, the good developer, build the product or the game that will drive an audience. Make sure that you're designing something that is not just promising something that you never had experience building before, but it's actually the opposite. It's like, you know exactly what you can deliver and you deliver or over deliver over that promise, assembling the right people at the core and building an economy that makes sense. An economy that makes sense is an economy, I think, like people don't realize, like I think token and cryptocurrencies evolve into a product. You're not working to support the price of a token. It's like the natural demand of your product, the natural adoption of your product, and in fact that there will be not a few hundred people or not a few thousand people using it, but more like the hundred of thousands of people using it, is what might generate the sufficient demand for the currency of your application or your game that then could support behind a certain what most people would be looking like is like support the economy of your product or service to not go into the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And that's, you do that again by focusing on the right thing, not on the effect of the things. And it's hard. Definitely, I don't know anyone who's succeeding yet at that, and I don't know anyone who is going also against the direction of the overall market. Mm-hmm. Like, that's been something that is so big and so powerful in terms of like adoption that the natural demand for it will generate more volume that is able to fight against certain larger market trend and pressure. That being said, I want to also go back to how we built Sandbox. Mm-hmm. We built Sandbox in 2018, involving blockchain and NFTs in the overall idea of like, we want to create a world where an economy, where a player-owned economy, people will own their virtual land, they will own their avatar, they will own their digital assets. But we introduced even the first land and the first land sale only on December 4th, 2019, so 2 years after. And we introduced the SAN token only in August 2020, 3 years after almost we started to build a product, build a community and a user base around it, etc. So again, our approach has been always like, let's make sure that we have the right audience at the core that will stay with us for a long time because we already add a benefit to them through what we are creating and progressively onboard them into this whole the whole benefit that the platform proposes through Web3 and through true digital asset ownership.
Got it. So that's an interesting outlook because, you know, I wanted to do like a segue to kind of an additional question, you know, as you mentioned that, like, you know, what are we talking about in terms of adoption, right? Because that's what you mean. Like, you know, the product is obviously paramount. You know, you should have a good product. You should always be able to improve the user experience and make sure that you ask your audience, right? You know, what do they like? What do they don't like? You know, iterate, like innovate, like, you know, try to use different hooks to make sure that, you know, they love spending time there. And that's the first like gameplay, like really important focus and the focus on why would people even use, you know, whatever the product you're offering them. The second point is just the reason for people joining Metaverse. You know, I was actually working on the Metaverse research recently, and the majority of the people who participated in the poll, people who are actually joining, there's a big number of people who are still not joined the Metaverse, never ever tried in their life, and they're open-minded, right? But even from those who joined, you know, the Metaverse, one of the core reasons were that to experience things they can't in the physical reality, and, you know, like and unite with people in a positive way that, you know, they haven't been able to do elsewise. Only few people wanted to escape their physical reality. That's one of the biggest criticisms, you know, right? You know, that, oh my God, what's going to happen? People are going to get more depressed and they're going to spend more time in the space without solving their psychological issues. I don't believe that's the biggest issue. But my question is basically to you, if you can reveal some numbers, like we'll go one by one. So what is the user base, right? How many people are actually using and what is their demographics? What is their profile of people who actually participate in the Sandbox ecosystem?
It's really interesting what you're mentioning. Like just maybe a small parenthesis around the mm-hmm. idea that why do people play video game and what in general, there's roughly 2.5, 3 billion gamers in the world. And I still think it is poised to grow to the 7 billion people which can play. And Sandbox could be a platform with a different kind of entertainment that people can enjoy. It will still be gaming. It will be more than gaming. It will be entertainment, etc. But it's not like playing AAA console games that we, in a way, like we're looking for moments of fun, moment of escaping the reality, And video game is one of the simplest way to like have those moments of fun. There's other form of entertainment, obviously, like movie, music, etc. But there's a reason video game industry as by itself is more than the double, because it's accessible, it's cheaper, it's at all times, that's a great portfolio of choice. And that choice means like there should be more and more any kind of activity, from serious game, advert game, casual game, hyper casual game, console game, PC game. Now we even have like messenger game, etc. And metaverse experiences will be part of it. The metaverse is going to be built around experiences first, and people will have that capacity to choose which kind of experience they will want to engage with from their favorite creators, from their favorite communities, or their favorite brands that help to bridge between the physical world and the virtual world. Now, sharing about some of the metrics, Sandbox has passed recently the 3 million registered wallet already. And on the last season, we had over 350,000 active players over a month, which keeping in mind that Sandbox platform by itself is still not open, it's at all time to the public, it's still in the beta phase. Our tools for content creators are available. The platform itself is normally still closed and will remain closed until except during those alpha seasons or special events like we had last week with Belonging Week during Pride Month, or once we let landowners publish on their land, which will happen towards the end of this year. From there, it will be open at all time. Anyone can publish how they want, etc. But progressively, we have to build several steps toward that goal. We have more than 21,500 landowners, roughly, which also make us the most decentralized virtual world in terms of unique land ownership, since no one owns more than 1% of all the land on the map. Which will lead, I think,
the total number.
Great.
Sorry to interrupt.
The total number of land is 166,464 lands. So we sold about 70% of that. And there is a great long tail distribution of landowner. Our goal ultimately is one land, one owner almost. So like if we can create a virtual world with ideally over 100,000 unique landowners, I think that would be a really interesting metric, very different than what we've seen before in terms of decentralization, where it's still concentrated in like too few owning too large part of that world, and hence hindering like the overall potential governance and the whole concept of like a digital nation owned by its user, who are the builder, who are the people who engage and create in it.
So that's part of our
long-term roadmap.
So if I may specify here also, like I said, I think just to on the second part. So what is the profile of this landowner? So this is a very unique way that you're trying to create this ecosystem where one land, one owner, right? But let's be honest, I assume some of the landowners right now probably own several lands, right? Not one, because they were smart enough to go early in, and if I would be super early, I would buy and then resell it, right? So there are this type of people who are like, let's call them the way they are, more speculative, right? And which is fine. Again, they're excited to participate. There are buyers and sellers. It's a marketplace, right? Now, but what is the percentage of people who are really builders, right? And the percentage of people who are doing it from a different perspective, if you can be transparent about it.
Yes, definitely. I can be very transparent. And that's something, again, that makes what makes Sandbox unique, like the percentage of creators, builder, people who are landowners and who also participate in the season to play. It's close to the 40 to 50%. And that's amazing. That's a great metric that shows that that world will be built, will be vibrant. When we survey the community of landowners, which we are in contact with, we know that they want to develop content on their land. They know that they will engage into the creator economy, because they are not also necessarily going to build by themselves, but they will hire some of those creator for hire, those artists that are selling content on the marketplace, and so on. And that's a metric that is going to it's very positive overall. Of course, we also have like the diversified landowners who are here more interested into the possibility to rent or lease land in the future. And that's also one of the opportunity into this decentralized virtual world. You can be a landowner with the idea to create experiences, to lease land and be this landlord in the future, or to resell it in the future, eventually. That's totally fine. What's great is like the ratio of that. If you had a world where 99% of people is just investors and no creator, that would be quite scary, actually, yeah. Because there's that 1% is not going to drive enough content, then audience, etc., to support all the rest. And that's what we work. And that's also why we decided, one, to not sell old land at all times, but progressively over time. There is no rush for us to sell out that whole work. We sold about 70% to date, and we continue to add on every new land sale, key communities, most top-tier brands of the world in entertainment, in fashion, in music, in lifestyle, in architecture, in gaming, you name it, from several regions of the world, making it as well a global. We create a sandbox to feel like it's most accessible to anyone in the world, because there are local IPs that can attract you into it, your local celebrity, the brand you're familiar with, and you can interact and create experience with UGC into your world. And that's, I think that that's unique, the way like the world of the sandbox is being shaped, that progressively people enter, have projects, want to become the virtual neighbor of some of those brands, or expand the universe of their favorite community, if it's a Web3 community as well, and co-create together experiences, stories, adventure in it.
Mm-hmm. And if we come back to demographics really briefly, what are the main, I assume a lot of users are from emerging markets, right? As you mentioned, like, so that will be more accessible, right? So maybe you can talk a little bit about the demographics, the countries, the languages, the age, the preferences.
So again, I think it's quite interesting to see how Sandbox is truly attracting a diverse demographic. Unlike certain virtual world on the Web2 side, like the Roblox, the Fortnite of the world, we're not kids driven. At the moment, we're seeing mostly audience 18 and above, 18 to 45 mm-hmm. years old. And US comes first in terms of audience, followed by Korea, Japan, Hong Kong. Then we have a mix of Europe, etc. So that's also, again, it's a new digital nation mm-hmm. in the building, with a lot of culture and users from all around the world.
Got it. So Gen Z mostly, millennials, and maybe a little bit of Generation Alpha, I assume, right? So the younger one.
A little bit, but it's interesting to see, like, in the sandbox as a metaverse, has positioned itself, like, people understand the virtual real estate. So some might come first for the virtual real estate, but these are also creators. They have ideas, they have projects, and they contribute. And then you have also sometimes you sketch toward a slight younger audience where they are not able yet to own their own land, but they can engage in play to earn, start playing, etc. And some of them have been then acquiring, and what they earned for that, they reinvested into acquiring land or owning an avatar and so on. Mm-hmm. Also, the way we designed the sandbox world, we kept 15% of reserve land all around, well distributed, that we will provide for free to creators, to projects that will always be relevant, that will be new. So in 5 years, if there's an amazing project that comes, even if the whole land is fully sold out, the foundation will have key location on the map to provide, to keep having like refreshing content for the overall community of Sandbox to enjoy.
Got it. So that's interesting. That's why I wanted to pick your brain a little bit more about this. And as you mentioned, you're now partnering with big brands, and we mentioned several of them, right? One of the latest news that you are partnered with Time, the magazine, the famous one that you're going to put Times Square in the metaverse. So can you elaborate a little bit what's going to happen there? I know that's going to be some some inspired by the virtual spirit of an energy of iconic neighborhood in the New York City. So I am in New York, so I'm just curious to hear more about it.
So indeed, like 2 weeks ago at NFT NYC, we held our own event called the Sandbox NYC. The first time we organized an event of that scale, about 2,000 people a day came between an afternoon of talk panels involving some of the partners we announced and some that are really relevant toward the metaverse into different verticals like lifestyle, avatar, diversity, fashion, and music, and so on. We also brought the community of landowners, of builders, of artists, of creators, and IPs and brands, so they can meet. From that, like, they share knowledge. Many of them interacted for over 2 years over the different social media channels. They never met in person. So it was amazing to see, I follow all your episodes. I learned about like voxel art and became a creator because I was following you and your tutorials over YouTube. I'm sure you get a lot of that yourself. But having those magical moments where you meet the people face to face and they tell you how much you made an impact in their life, how you provided new opportunities, it was special. And at that moment happened in New York with the community. And by night, we had like music performance with some of the music artists that are obviously also having land as part of the Sandbox ecosystem. And Time Magazine, we had Keith Grossman, the CEO of Time Magazine, on stage. He shared with us the origin story of like how came the idea to have Time Magazine enter the Sandbox, launching Time Square without an S. So it's a kind of the name is funny. It was chosen as well because of New York and Times Square, where the metaverse, the Sandbox map being this virtual Manhattan, a vibrant place where 24/7 there will be activities for users and their avatar to have their own virtual Times Square, which will be co-created with the community, featuring content curated by them. I think it was an exciting moment that we shared on stage and live with the overall Jets and community.
Oh, it was. I mean, I agree that this type of, you know, traditional companies, Web 2, as we call them, that are slowly getting to Web 3, that gives a lot of legitimacy and validation for the entire space. So I think like the fact that you guys are making a lot of efforts to bring them, you know, to the world, I think it's beneficial for the entire industry, right? So again, coming back to reality of the current market, I want to ask you more controversial question, right? You know, so what do you really sincerely think should happen so that we will, you know, flip the coin and then, you know, start, you know, reversing the market sentiment, and specifically in the NFT space? Because, you know, we're talking to a lot of gamers, a lot of NFT collectors, and obviously they're some of the smart one, they're actually buying assets that are cheaper right now, but they're kind of OGs. You know, some of the new one, they're a bit concerned because, you know, they don't see, you know, a lot of utilities. They have challenges with discovering, like, you know, NFTs and like, and how to even pick the in-game assets, right? You know, so what do you think are major challenges right now for the industry that we are facing right now from your vantage point?
So, you know, the NFT, there's many ways to value an NFT, from its scarcity, from its aesthetic, from its utility. Mm-hmm. I think like the category that we haven't seen enough yet is the utility of those NFTs. I agree. What we're seeing is like the collectability aspects, the attachment to the art, the design, or the specific scarcity of an NFT are not just enough to create a long sustainable market. However, NFT with a utility, so most likely in-game items, in-game characters, virtual lands, NFTs that are related to one or multiple, thanks to the interoperability use case, which can be a single game first, but be part of a platform after, is most likely the category that continue to emerge and grow in value over time. But don't forget the fundamentals I mentioned earlier in our conversation, that we still need to build the right gameplay, the right core loop, but also the meta gameplay that brings people to come back and keep engaging, progressing into those games. I feel there's always a lot of creativity, a lot of innovation in the space. I felt that the hype last year has contributed to broaden the market, and you never know which idea, which community would start. Like all those projects from the Board Ape, from the Doodles, from Guttergard Gang, etc. Azuki, Goblins. There are still projects that emerge that are very creative or funny or memes. And yet they work. They're able to gather people who are like-minded around it, and then they strive to dedicate to because the core team have that capacity of execution that some others don't. And I go back again to the idea, like the NFT, launching an NFT collection is just the beginning to a long journey, long adventure. But you need also to be realistic in your capacity to execute. Have you already shipped a game before? Do you have the right team? Can you really create this next level MMORPG in 3 months when it takes 5 years to a game studio like an Ubisoft or an Activision Blizzard of the world with hundreds of people? Mm-hmm. Are you truly realistic about that? And that's what differentiates, I think, at the end, it's always the quality of execution, not at all the hype around something. You can feel the quality of execution. You can feel when something is a half-baked product versus a lot of attention to every single detail that's been put from the communication standpoint, to the art, to the creativity, to the storytelling. And that is alone for projects that are just NFT first. But if it's like a whole platform game or product first, you should be able to enter that product already, test it and see, oh, what? I feel they put work. I can trust the team behind that's building that product. And I'm sure like they can deliver afterward as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, as in people who invest in the space, we also see that utility is one of the Achilles, you know, heel for a lot of projects. Like it's really missing, like it can be one utility, but that might not be enough for people to get excited and for the NFT to be actually used, as you mentioned, like, you know, so it has to have a practical usage inside the game, inside the experience of the person. So it will not be just the promise, but it will be the reality, the inevitable part of the game, right? So well noted. Again, I want to keep it more like short this time. I want to invite you again, and obviously we're going to meet more like inevitably being in one space and being part of the same, you know, gaming alliance and et cetera. There's one question which I never notify people, my guests, like who I invite, like which is makes it more fun, you know, like it's has nothing to do with professional line of questioning. It is a more personal level. So I do believe that everything that we do has a should have a meaning and purpose. So my question to you, Sebastian, is what is the meaning of life to you?
Well, that's the broader question. I think what's the meaning of I do believe in way in good karma, like good things happen for a reason. So if you force yourself to always be respectful of others, listening to others, trying to help, I don't know, trying to solve their problem, but at least trying to help and provide. And then most frequently in Sandbox, we try to provide, to empower players to become creators. Then we go to the next step. Let's make them able to live from their creativity. So ultimately, I believe Sandbox is, and my mission is to provide a platform where the creativity of people can be expressed, even if they were not artists before, etc. So discover new talent for themselves as well, feel empowered by it. And I hope that, yes, it is a kind of impact that, well, I could feel like I contributed towards opening new opportunities, make people discover new skills, and ideally build a whole new digital economy with the Blockchain Game Alliance and with an overall ecosystem, because I don't take any credit at all for doing that all alone. Of course, it's a joint effort in the space.
Got it. That's a great answer, and we appreciate it. So in terms of any closing words, announcements, I know that there's right now Sandbox Season 2, and I've heard somewhere that Season 3 is coming soon, right? So if it's something we can talk about, like, you know, when it's happening, what's going to be like exciting about it, happy to hear your opinion.
Yes, we've been putting a lot of, and the community has been, because the season 3 is coming, it will have over 80, we hope 100 experiences in total, mostly made by community and by the brand itself. It's coming toward end of July, beginning of August, hopefully no later than that. And it will be very exciting, as like so much new kind of experiences, so much content, diverse content that they will be able to interact with their avatar, to discover, to be amazed, and to see potentially where like the metaverse can keep showcasing how like this is definitely more than gaming. This is new form of entertainment. It will inspire. Yeah, the goal of season is to inspire the thousands of creators, the millions of creators of the world, mm-hmm. to make something of their own with a tool. And be part of the metaverse and that overall open metaverse vision that we are co-creating.
Beautiful. So we're going to share all the links, you know, sandbox.game and all the social media links in the body of our, you know, of the YouTube version, and then podcast, obviously. So you'll be able to reach out like even online and ask any questions in the comments. And listen, we implore you to at least test Sandbox, like, you know, and take a look at, you know, how the entire system works. I know that Sebastian and then their team did a tremendous job to create like a lot of explanatory videos, how to do that in a simplified fashion. So just go to their website. There's tons of explanation. There's community managers who will answer all your questions. And if I miss something, Sebastian, I'm sure you will complete it. But so far, really appreciate your time, appreciate your expertise. And I know you're now in Korea. It's very early for you. So there's a lot of work. There's a lot of education we have to bring to the industry, and really just appreciate that you're doing it not only for yourself, but as you mentioned, to actually bring more gamers into the space, so that they will feel comfortable, they will feel also confident that this is not just a promise and speculative tool, but it's also a really community where you can grow, you can build, and you can have practical benefits from the Web3 technology.
Well said. Thanks again, Constantin, for having me. Nothing much more to add. It's a great summary. Well, I look forward to keep sharing you some updates for major future partnership. How is season 3 ongoing? Maybe you'll get a chance to play it yourself and show it as well. That can be interesting.
I would love to.
And we keep on. Amazing.
Okay. Merci, Sebastian. So we'll chat soon.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a good day and see you in the metaverse. Bye-bye.